The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a great weekend and kicking off a new week. A lot going on. We're going to focus a lot today on North Carolina issues based on North Carolina values. And before I introduce my guest today, who's a good friend and a good friend of the program, and we're going to talk about several things that sound like they're North Carolina-centric. So if you're not in the state, if you're like, Steve, hey, I don't live there, listen anyway, because the things that go on here are going on around the country, and these are things that we all need to be aware of and educated about and ready to engage, whether it's happening here in North Carolina or perhaps there in South Carolina or Virginia or Utah or wherever you happen to be listening or watching the show. So these are valuable lessons. We talk about things that sometimes are local, quote unquote, local to North Carolina, but there are always issues that I know matter around the country. So pay attention whether you live here or not. Personal, a point of personal business, I would like to just ask all of you, I don't do this very often, to pray for the Noble family tomorrow. Pray for me specifically because my classes start back up tomorrow. This is the biggest teaching year I've ever had. We're like almost 30% bigger than last year. So I've got 155 students in 8 classes in person, 2 classes online. That's a lot to juggle and then to walk in here every day ready to do radio. I'm not whining. I'm incredibly blessed and highly favored that way. And that is incredible soil on which to plant seeds of the gospel and the truth of these subjects. But it's a lot, and I can feel the weight of that. And as a teacher and somebody that incorporates God's word into what I teach, the stakes go up on you. And the scripture makes that perfectly clear. So if you could just be in prayer, and if you want to check out things for yourself, we're actually now allowing and offering people to audit the class. So I've got some adults auditing these classes now. I've got students that are younger than high school auditing, which just means you want to take advantage of watching the 32 classes that I'll teach over the next 2 semesters. No homework, no tests, so you can take it easy. But if you want to access that as a refresher, perhaps in U.S. History or civics, then go to the website, nobleuschool.com. That's where you can find all that information. nobleuschool.com. We also have another situation tomorrow in our family that we've been waiting for a while that's significant. That's all I'm going to tell you. So please just pray for justice and a good outcome. That would be very appreciated. Tammy Fitzgerald is the executive director and the founder of North Carolina Values Coalition, ncvalues.org, a great friend, a sister in Christ, and somebody that engages and the legal system, specifically the legislature here in North Carolina, but also plays around with legal issues that get all the way up to the Supreme Court and amicus briefs and things like that. We've got some very serious things going on in North Carolina. Tammy, good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you, Steve. It's always great to be on your show.
We appreciate your time and your efforts as always. Well, I texted you the other day. This was a whale of a headline in redstate.com on August 19th, just a couple days ago. North Carolina Supreme Court enacts a full-scale judicial coup. And I was like, what in the world is this? This is from the article. And what can only be described as a full-scale judicial coup, the Democrat-controlled body has ruled, get this, that the North Carolina General Assembly is illegitimate and cannot enact amendments to the state's constitution. Their reasoning that the state's legislature is gerrymandering, which is a term for redrawing districts to your party's advantage. So now they're coming in and literally saying that the North Carolina General Assembly can't do anything to deal with the state's constitution because they see it's illegitimate, which is kind of funny. This is kind of a wild story. Is this actually happened already?
Yes, it did happen on Friday. The North Carolina Supreme Court released an opinion about 2 amendments to the state constitution that passed in 2018. And one was to cap the state income tax, and the other one was to enact a voter ID requirement in the state constitution. Of course, this is the third time we've enacted voter ID in North Carolina, and left-wing groups have struck it down now 3 times. And so this time we passed a constitutional amendment thinking that this would certainly be safe. But the court struck it down because in 2018, this case went all the way up to the Supreme Court, I believe, finding that congressional and legislative districts in North Carolina were racially gerrymandered, which the court said was illegal. And so because the districts were racially gerrymandered, the state Supreme Court reasoned in this case that they didn't have authority to pass these bills that put these constitutional amendments on the ballot. Of course, there were six amendments on the ballot in 2018, but only two were challenged and only two were declared invalid because of racial gerrymandering by the state Supreme Court. And the opinion was written by Justice Anita Earls, who is a radical left-wing activist. That's the best way to describe her. Yep. And unfortunately, she sits on the court. And so she's been able to enact a number of really radical opinions that are best described as judicial activism, as politically motivated and driven, and driven by the result that she wants to happen, not by the law.
So they've essentially decided that they have power over the duly elected legislature of North Carolina.
That's correct. And this is really a separation of powers issue. Yeah. I mean, the Supreme Court shouldn't have the ability to come and declare the legislative acts of a duly elected legislature invalid. And that's essentially what they've done. Of course, they've been selective in declaring these acts unconstitutional. As I pointed out, there were four other amendments that weren't declared unconstitutional. And none of the bills passed that year by the legislature have been declared unconstitutional. And so it is really extremism at its height.
I was going to say it's completely cherry picking because by their reasoning, if the North Carolina state legislature is in fact illegitimate, then everything they've done in the last 4 years has been illegitimate. Everything,
including the budget they passed that pays the justices' salaries.
Right. So that should be thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't care. They don't care about logic or certainly don't care about the rule of the rule of law, because that's why they're just applying it. They needed a reason to push back on these things. And so they just made one up, essentially.
Yes, they did. And I think the red state article got it right. It was a judicial coup.
Yeah.
And we should call it that. And hopefully we're going to take care of that, and so that it won't happen again this fall.
Yeah, in November.
In November, when we elect two new conservative justices.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they are completely out of the closet across the board. There's nothing they won't do. There's no action they won't take. We'll keep talking to Tammy when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. By the way, if you want to see what's going on here in the studio, you want to join us during the commercial breaks and you're on the radio, all you need to do is jump over to Facebook or YouTube. Just go to the Steve Noble Show page on either of those, and you can catch kind of a sidebar conversation a little more in depth sometimes. We never rob Peter to pay Paul, though, just so you know. If you're a radio listener, I know that's the largest portion, single portion of the audience. And so I'm going to keep most of the meat from the steaks going to come out. We're going to eat that during the regular radio breaks. But we throw in a side of mashed potatoes and some asparagus and a few other things during the commercial break. So you get a little bit more of a meal if you join us that way. And then, of course, the podcast, wherever you get your podcast, that's available. And you can go watch any show from the past. We've been doing the Facebook Live and also on YouTube Live for years now. So you can always go watch that, check that out for yourself. Today, our good friend Tammy Fitzgerald, who is the executive director of NC Values, ncvalues.org. If you live here in North Carolina, you should already be on their email list. You should be a part of that organization. If you are not, now you have knowledge, which comes brings with it responsibility. So make sure you go there and sign up and be a part of the email list. And then they're also going to encourage you, engage you, and educate you in terms of what's going on in our state from a Christian perspective with the legislature and the laws that are being passed, which is what we're talking about today. And then what you can do about it. It's not just, hey, here's what's happening. There's actually engagement. We're going to talk about the elections coming up. But this is a huge one, Tammy. And one thing you mentioned on the break before we move on, the North Carolina Supreme Court enacts a full-scale judicial coup. They basically said poo-poo to a couple of things that the conservatives were trying to get into the state constitution saying, well, because we believe there is gerrymandering, especially across racial lines, we think you're actually illegitimate and you don't have a right to do anything with respect to these two constitutional amendments. But they didn't say that about any of the other amendments that passed, and they haven't said that about any other law that's passed. By that reasoning, you would have to throw out everything the North Carolina legislature has done in almost the last 4 years. But that's not what they're doing. And you said this on the break, Tammy. They have an absolute disregard for the law, and that's at the highest court level in North Carolina, which is certainly disgusting and concerning, to say the least.
Well, certainly. I mean, the amendments that were thrown out by the court are about voter identification. So requiring a picture ID in order to vote, which most states in the country already require.
Right.
This is the third time we've had it thrown out by left-wing activist groups in North Carolina. The other amendment was to cap the income tax at, I think it was 7%, saying that the state can never pass an income tax above 7%, which if the people want to vote to do that,
yeah,
they should have the right to vote to do that.
That's right.
And the way those initiatives get on the ballot, those constitutional amendments under North Carolina's constitution, is there has to be a bill passed by the legislature. We don't have petition and initiative, so you can't get a lot of signatures and put something on the ballot that way. It has to go through the legislature.
Yeah.
So essentially, the Supreme Court just took your voice away, mm-hmm, to get something voted on at the ballot level.
Well, you use the two words that affect progressives and liberals the same way that holy water affects a vampire. You said the people. And so whenever you talk about the will of the people, you know, they shriek back because that's the power that that takes them out. Now, something that's moving in the right direction here in North Carolina, this just happened last Wednesday on the 17th. Judge reinstates North Carolina's 20-week abortion ban. So explain that. But I want to say just from the get-go, neither you nor myself are satisfied with a 20-week ban. You're still killing babies. But anyway, this is a step in the right direction. So what happened last Wednesday?
Well, this is actually pretty convoluted, Steve, but I'll try to get through it and make it easy. 5 years before Roe versus Wade came out of the Supreme Court in 1967, the General Assembly in our state legalized abortion up to 20 weeks. Up to that point, abortion was illegal and a crime, but in 1967, we became the second state in the country to legalize abortion up to 20 weeks for any reason.
Sad.
And that statute was in effect for over 50 years. Now, about 5 years ago, we passed a bill that would strengthen the reasons you could have an abortion after 20 weeks. We wanted to tighten that up so it wasn't as easy to have a post 20 weeks abortion. So we passed a law that said that instead of allowing abortion for the health of the mother, which through time and experience, mm-hmm, we saw that exception really opened the gates wide open and allowed abortion for any reason. So we took health out and replaced it with medical emergency, which is defined to mean that the life of the mother is in danger, like she's in danger of dying.
Literally, right.
Or one of her major bodily functions is going to be impacted in such a way that it would greatly impact her life. And so the abortion lobby, the abortion industry, didn't like that. So they sued over this restriction on abortion, and they convinced a federal court in Greensboro to strike down the 20-week law. Which had never been examined by a court before, had never been challenged in court until we tightened the restriction on the post 20-week abortions. The court struck down the entire 20-week law, saying you could not restrict abortion before viability under Roe and Casey, the two cases that have been looked to for, you know, 45 years.
Right, yep.
Almost 50 years as the basis for abortion. And so the court issued an injunction against the 20-week ban, and that's been in place until last Thursday. And so after the Dobbs case, where the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade and Casey, legislative leaders, Senator Berger and Speaker Moore, asked the Attorney General to file a motion in court in this case, asking the judge to lift his injunction against our 20-week law. And the Attorney General, Josh Stein, refused to do his duty and said that he was pro-abortion. And of course, we know he's 100% pro-abortion. Yeah. And he would not file the motion. So the legislative leaders filed a friend of the court brief, an amicus brief in the case. And the judge issued an order last Thursday lifting his injunction and reinstating the 20-week ban. And he did it sua sponte, which means on his own, because there wasn't a party to the case that would ask him to reinstate the 20-week law that had been passed by the duly elected representatives of the people. So prior to the reinstatement of this 20-week law, what we had was abortion up to the day of delivery, because the judge had said it was available up to viability, and that the abortionist got to determine when viability was. So that's like asking the fox to watch the hen house,
right, exactly.
You know? And so now we at least have a 20-week limitation on abortion. Now, the unfortunate thing, Steve, is that that's not enough.
No,
you know,
obviously.
20 weeks to allow abortion up to 20 weeks is just unthinkable. And we're going to be working. We already have been working very hard to change this and to save as many unborn babies and their mothers as we can.
Well, hold that thought. We're up against the break because there's a lot going on there. There's a lot to follow up on that. And when we come back, I'll remind everybody there is a significant difference. And I'm against all abortion at any level, but there's a significant difference between a first trimester and a second trimester abortion that I will remind you of, whether you want to hear it or not. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to our good friend Tammy Fitzgerald, the executive director of NC Values. NCValues.org is the website, NCValues.org. I want you to go there as soon as possible, get on their email list, join up as a supporter. And then we're going to talk about something before we finish this segment coming up on September 12th that you have to be very aware of that's going to be available at NCValues.org. That's going to be very helpful for you as we move towards the November elections. We're talking about the judge last week reinstating North Carolina's 20-week abortion ban, which neither one of us is satisfied with. And in North Carolina, we're going to explain this. It's kind of incrementalism right now. You take the wins where you can, because between Josh Stein, our attorney general, who has no interest in doing his job, he's all about his ideology, as well as Governor Cooper, who can still veto anything that comes out of the legislature. And the North Carolina state legislature does not have a veto-proof majority. They have a majority, but not veto-proof, so they can't override his veto. So they could pass the strongest abortion ban in American history, and he's going to veto it, and that's the end of the story. Okay, so we have to play a little bit of incrementalism in the meantime, but there's things afoot, which Tammy is going to help us understand. But there is, I just want you to understand the difference in a first trimester, basically dilation and curettage, they go in and suction the child. That rips the baby to pieces, okay, but much, much smaller. In the second trimester, we're talking about dissection, literally. All right, this is so gruesome and so it's beyond un-American. It's inhuman that we would do this to one another, especially to the most vulnerable. We're literally, they're taking these iron gripped forceps, inject it, you know, go in through the womb, and you got to pull this baby out piece by piece. You tug hard enough. I've listened to abortionists explain this that finally came out of that demonic profession, and tug hard enough to rip the leg, rip the other leg, get the other arm, the torso, the head. You got to crush the head to get, this is beyond barbaric. And that's allowed here in the great state of North Carolina, which you guys, a lot of people think, well, isn't that the Bible Belt? Well, the Bible Belt might have slipped so far south it goes down to Mississippi now. I don't know. But it's brutal, disgusting, and it's only by God's grace that he hasn't just flattened our country because of this kind of stuff. But it really is shocks the sensibilities, Tammy, when you have to talk about the realities at play here.
It does. It does. It definitely does.
So in terms of what's going
on. Tragic and barbaric.
Barbaric. And so, and again, I just want to say this because I know we have plenty of women and men, by the way, listening that you are, this is in your background. Okay. This is part of your story. It's in your past. I just want to remind you that as difficult and as disturbing as is the reality of shedding children's blood in the act of abortion, the blood of Jesus Christ is infinitely more powerful than that. Okay, so if you've come to him already in repentance and faith and you've been put all your faith in Jesus and you've been born again, you're truly a biblical Christian. All that stuff is under the blood. It's separated as far as the East is from the West, and you have been forgiven fully of that, never to be brought up again. Now, you might need to still find some healing from that. But in terms of forgiveness, that is in your past, and you need to deal with that and remember that and accept that. That's how much God loves you. So I don't want to leave you thinking that it's hopeless, because with Jesus Christ, it never is. But with the 20-week ban, obviously, we're not satisfied with that. So what's going on right now? Because we're trying to move towards North Carolina not being an abortion destination. Right now, it's like, hey, let's go to North Carolina for the Outer Banks and to get an abortion. I mean, we're an abortion destination state now.
Well, we are, and this is what a lot of people don't even realize, that a lot of the states, most of the states around North Carolina, are slowly becoming pro-life. In Tennessee, they passed a complete ban on abortion, went into effect. In Georgia, they have a heartbeat bill, so as soon as a heartbeat is detectable in the unborn child, they can't be aborted. South Carolina has a heartbeat law. It's still held up in court, but expected to go into effect soon. All the states south and east of us have complete abortion bans. We have the 16th state was Idaho to have a complete ban on abortion. We expect to have 26 in total.
Wow.
The only state more liberal than North Carolina on abortion right now that's near us is Virginia, and they allow abortion up to the end of the second trimester.
So we are
the closest place for most women in the South right now to have an abortion. If they are driving, they're going to drive to Charlotte, to the biggest abortion clinic in the Southeast.
Yeah, yeah.
And Planned Parenthood has already verified that they've had a rapid increase in the number of abortions in our state from out-of-state women coming across state lines. And so we cannot do anything about this unless we pass a law to make North Carolina pro-life again. And we cannot pass a law to do that that will be signed into law, because Governor Cooper will veto any pro-life bill we pass. We've already seen that. He's vetoed two bills. We passed the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Act, which protects unborn babies who are accidentally born as a result of an abortion. It says you have to give them life-saving medical treatment like you would any other premature infant. He vetoed that bill. Yeah. And last year, he vetoed the Human Life Non-Discrimination Act, which protected babies who were being aborted because they got a prenatal diagnosis of
eugenics.
Down syndrome or because of their race.
Yep.
And he vetoed that bill. So he's not going to sign into law a pro-life bill now that Roe has been overturned. And the only hope that we have to keep North Carolina from becoming a destination for abortion is to win this election in November.
We
have got to elect veto-proof majorities to the North Carolina House and Senate. Now, this means we have to not only elect all the people that are currently in office and win the districts we currently hold, but we need three more districts in the House and two more in the Senate. In addition, we need to win at least one seat on the state Supreme Court,
right,
so we can get rid of this radical court that wants to just play politics and come out with judicial activist opinions. And so we need 3-2-1, three in the House, two in the Senate, one on the Supreme Court.
That's right.
And then, only then, can we pass a law in North Carolina that makes us pro-life again.
Yeah, so we have to get out. You have to get engaged. You have to be educated, and you need to. And we used to have this saying back in the day. It always bugged me because I'm a firm believer in the depravity of mankind. Hey, vote your values. I'm like, no, Don't vote your values. Your values at some level are screwed up. Vote God's values. Don't vote your values. Vote God's values, which means you have to be a good student of the word of God in order to be able to vote his values. And that's what we have to do with lives on the line, literally. And we're talking about the devastation, not just with the child, but the mom as well as the dad. And that's why this election coming up in November is such a big deal. And elections have consequences, which is why we have somebody like Senator Tillis in office, who is if they get the chance, they did this in the House where they voted to, quote unquote, codify same-sex marriage in the House. And about 46 or 47 Republicans voted for that. In the Senate, Tillis, is he going to vote for that? He's going to vote for same-sex marriage. What do you think is going to happen there?
Tillis has said he will vote for it. Jeez. And he's been sort of rude about the way he said it. He's
acronyms. To see if you will start to get a little agitated, maybe a little sick to your stomach, a little rage will start stirring up inside of you, perhaps righteous indignation, perhaps just indignation. But let me just throw some of these at you, okay? AG. AG. How about CIA? CDC. Ooh, that's a trigger one. CDC. Or perhaps DOJ. DOE, which would be, well, I'll explain it in a second. DOS, what's that one? FBI, how's that resonate for you? FBI, HHS, maybe that's your unsafe word, your trigger phrase, HHS. Perhaps FDA. I know this one might get a few of you. IRS, how about that, IRS? Or, especially given the last 2.5 years, NIH, NIH. Or perhaps if you're a traveler, TSA, or if you are a loved one that's served in the military, VA. How's that make you feel? AG, Attorney General, CIA, you know that. CDC, you know that. DOJ, Department of Justice, DOE, Department of Education or Energy, DOS, Department of State, FBI, HHS, Health and Human Services, FDA, IRS, NIH, the National Institute of Health with Fauci, the TSA, and the VA, Veterans Administration. And the size of our federal government, which stinks. The State Department now clocking in at 69,000 employees. The Treasury Department, get this is funny. The Treasury Department, 86,000 employees. However, ding, 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 ding. Did something go off in your head right there? When I say the Department of Treasury, which includes IRS, 86,000 employees, what just happened last Sunday? Oh, that's right. We're going to double that number and add at least 80,000 more specific IRS agents. No worries there. Department of Defense. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. For all of you on radio, please forgive us. And towards the end of the last segment, we had a little disconnect there on the radio side. And so we lost Tammy there for a little bit. And she and I finished up on Facebook and YouTube. But sorry about that. Those things happen every once in a while. And hopefully they won't again. So when you listen to the show, I mean, if you feel prompted to, just say, hey, Lord, just pray for everything to go well. That's all you need to say. He knows exactly what you're talking about. So sorry about that if that affected you on the radio. But one thing I did want to mention with Tammy at NC Values, ncvalues.org, they have an awesome voter guide coming out on September 12th. It's the iVoter Guide, which is a national organization. They not only send questionnaires to people running for office and those that are already in office, incumbents. But if they're an incumbent, they include rankings based on how they voted. So not that you don't make your decision based on the postcard or the ad, because those always present the candidates in the best light. You want to look at the facts. OK, what's the deal? How do they really vote? I don't care what you say. It's what you do, which sounds a little bit like James, which we're going to open with today with a little Money Monday update with our good friend David Fisher, who is just a blessing to the show. And we all continually learn from him, and he leads us into some wisdom and some education that we need. And but we're also going to start with a passage of scripture. We'll start with a little praise report and a testimony, and then we'll see if Lord willing, we'll have some time to talk about some other issues. But it's great to hear from you, David. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, I'm so excited to be on your program today. I'm clipping coupons. Praise God. Amen. The Lord amazes me.
Yes, he is an amazing God, to say the least, and that can manifest itself in a number of ways, and we'll get to how it's manifested itself in your life in the last few years, but we'll start with that scripture. Let's start in James 2:16-17. We'll start there, and then I'm excited to have you share your praise report. Yet another one, because God has just been so good.
Yeah, I'm just blown away, speechless. Scripture says, if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So a lot of people ask me, can I share a little bit more about my story and how it really was even more than I even imagined?
Yeah.
As you and I talked last week, even imagined it was even more a miracle than I could even comprehend. I'd learned more about that as of last week when I was with my cardiologist, just a huge praise report. But a lot of people ask me, how did this all happen since all the odds were against you? Five doctors said you're going to die, and you know, all the whole story, I don't want to repeat it all, but there is no cure for me, and so I had 3 months to a year to live, told by multiple doctors. Go get your financial affairs in order. Two things that I did practical. I went and asked great people that are in my life, like Steve Noble, to pray for me, and you went a step farther, and you announced it on your radio station, and people who've never met me, people who never called my company or talked to me, I assume they went to prayer and stood in the gap, and because of that, and many other people who've never met me, because a lot of other radio stations heard the story too, prayed for me. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing, and this is not more significant than prayer, I think it's less significant, but I said, I have to do what's possible. I have to put some works to this thing. And I have to do my part, which is going to the doctor and praying, but also believing. And so what I did every day is the scripture says, as a man thinketh, so he is. I did not think myself as having this problem. I saw myself and believed and prayed. Not that mind is powerful, because it wasn't my mind. It was, I have to believe in the Lord to be able to heal me. I have to believe that healing is possible. Mm-hmm. And so I believed that if Jesus wanted to use me and keep me here longer, which I'm not afraid of dying, that he would cause the right people to come into my life or help heal in that process, or medical device. But I believed for it. And I prayed for it, and I partnered with everyone else that also believed.
Yeah, and then that led to a medical trial and a device. Yeah. And the thing that's amazing about this, which will lead to your report last week, is when they put the device in, and what they were expecting was, you know, kind of minimal performance. They didn't have high expectations about what could happen. But all along the road, those glass ceilings have been shattered because miraculously God has, in his sovereignty and his goodness, just brought you beyond what you could ask, think, or imagine.
Yeah, so only 500 people were put into this trial. You had to qualify in a health test. I passed that. But if you pass it, only 1 in 3 people are chosen through a computer that actually gets the surgical device put in them. And then, usually, the history has shown, I learned this last week, more than a third of the people die within the first year, and then the second year more, and the third year more, and after about the fourth year, nobody typically lives. Wow. I'm going on my fifth year, okay? coming up on it. But here's what happened. So, an infraction, which is how hard your heart pumps, not the speed of it, but it's like a balloon compressing and expanding. And that number is called an infraction. For a man my age, I'm 60 years old, a normal compression expansion called an infraction is numbers, not percentages, but between 50 and 60. 60 is high, 50 between 50 and 60. That is a healthy, normal heart. 2018, mine was at 10, which means you either die or get a heart transplant. So I had this device. I passed the test. They chose, the computer chose me. They put the device in. I've progressively over the years, plus with lots of prayer and belief, my numbers started going up. Here's what I found out last 3 months ago, which I announced on your program. I'm at a 58. 50 is perfect. When I hit 42 a year ago, they said, you reached something that nobody's ever done.
Yeah.
And here's what I found out last week. Only one person has, besides me, been above a 35. He had to really think, the technician. He says, I have to research it. There might be one possibly at a 40,
wow,
but nobody in the 50. And I said, what's the average? He said, 7.5 points. That'd be like me from going to a 10 to a 17.5,
wow,
and I would still have major issues.
Right.
I'm the only one that had a full recovery out of 500. By the way, this is now passed by the FDA. And so I offered my services to them because I made a commitment to help anybody that needed, you know, encouragement that's been,
yeah,
through a heart issue. And they said to me last week, ironically, we thank you for doing that. We'll probably be calling you because we're, mm-hmm, looking for somebody. Nobody has come close to this, and we want to spend some more time with you, find out why you had such a big recovery. Why am we going to be able to share the gospel not only,
yes,
with the doctors, the technicians,
yes,
but people who are having challenges, and encourage,
yes,
them? Such a answer to prayer.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And when you and I talked on the phone just the other day, I brought up 2 Corinthians chapter 1, which talks about that the grace you've received and the comfort you've received from the Father when you go through a trial. You turn around and use that, because now you become a steward of what you've learned and what the Lord has done. And you turn around and you use that to be a blessing to other people that are going through what you went through. And here, the secular doctors, I assume most of them, set that whole thing up and don't even know it. And that's just how the Lord has used you and is going to continue to use you. And on the issue of God's sovereignty, and I completely understand and appreciate you unpacking that the way you did, you have to believe that God is able, certainly is, and you have to believe that it's possible, and then you just choose to believe. I believe that he's going to get me through this, because it reminded me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar's firing up the furnace, and he's like, you know, 7 times hotter, and so if you get even close, you're going to die. And they're like, hey, listen, we know that God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we're going to praise his name. And they throw him in there, of course, and instead of 3, there's 4, which is kind of an early visitation, a lot of theologians think, of Jesus himself. And that's the way you go. I know God is able to save me. I know God is able to save you. I know God is able to repair your heart and using whatever means he wants to, because those surgeons and the inventors only have that ability because God gave it to them. And then even if he doesn't, we're still going to worship him. But in this case, he did, in his sovereignty, and we praise his name.
Absolutely. And I remember the prayer that I prayed when the doctors told me I had less than 3 months to live and get my financial affairs in order. I was in the hospital on the 11th day, and I had my boo-hoo moment for a moment, for about,
sure,
30 seconds, and I said, David, get it together. You know who your great physician is. And so
yeah,
my prayer was almost identical, Steve, to what you just said. I said, Lord, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm excited to serve you, and if that is really short in 3 months, I will serve you for every breath that I take, mm-hmm, for the next 3 months. If you find a way that somehow miraculously you will heal me, I will make a vow to you today. This is in 2018,
yeah,
November. I vow that I will help anybody that comes along my way with a heart condition, and I will, mm-hmm, be their friend, I will be their encourager, I'll pray for them, and this will be an inroad for the gospel. And who knew back then,
yeah,
my,
right,
prayer was going to be answered last,
that's,
Friday.
Right. Yeah, and it's such a remarkable thing, and that the Lord uses us to do anything still remains one of the biggest miracles in my life besides my salvation. And it's just been a joy to walk with you through this. And so when you text me like that and you've got a praise report, and it's always because you want to share it with me in advance of the show because it's such good news. That always just lights up my soul and my spirit. And I just thank you for giving me the blessing of sharing those things with me, David, and then sharing them here on the air is always so wonderful. We just praise the Lord with you and praise the Lord for you and look forward to how you're going to continue to serve him. And that's just wonderful.
Thank you, Steve, and thank all the great saints, brothers and sisters,
amen,
that partnered with me. I thank them so much.
Amen. And we'll talk about the economy next week, maybe. I love you, my brother.
Love you too.
Okay, pal, I'll talk real soon. God bless you. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.